Hi everyone, I'm Mark Asper. Welcome to another No Spoilers interview, where today I'm going to be talking to Diane Robinson, director of The Young Vote, which deals with voter apathy in America and what it means for the fabric of democracy in the US going forward. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Mark. It's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you indeed. Can you give me a little bit of background into how you became a filmmaker?
Yeah. Well, it was quite a journey for me. I started out as an educator. Actually, I taught straight out of college in a program called Teach for America, and I was really drawn to it because it placed young college graduates in low-income communities in the U.S. And I was placed in Compton, California in the mid-90s and taught first grade classrooms, which was actually really interesting for me because I actually had students who were mostly young immigrants to the U.S. from Central America and Mexico. And I immigrated to the U.S. when I was 7 years old. So it was sort of like this full circle experience for me. And I taught mostly Black and, you know, English language learners who were very poor. So it was a really transformative experience for me. And I think it was probably one of the best pieces of education I got at a very young age. So it really instilled in me these values around doing what I could to help change the reality for a lot of, you know, young people growing up in low-income areas in America. I really sort of came of age during the education reform movement in the U.S. and worked for a few decades with Teach for America and a few other national education groups. Actually went to Harvard and got my doctorate. And while I was there, two things happened. I learned about system change through one of my professors at the Kennedy School. And he taught me a lot around this idea that you can't really tackle our biggest problems in society if you're not taking on the adaptive changes that need to be made in society. So the beliefs that we have, the values we have around the biggest problems we have, whether it's climate change, in our country right now, protecting our democracy. And one of the things that I started realizing during the 2016 election, especially presidential election in the US, was this narrative that young people didn't care and that they didn't turn out to vote. And, you know, here I was, I had just spent two decades of my life working with an organization like Teach for America. It's crazy, like, you know, there are young people all over the world, including in the U.S., like myself, at the age of 23, that had said, no, I'm not going to go the route of being a lawyer. I'm going to go teach in the poorest community in our country. So what was interesting to me around this film was that I wanted to take on that narrative. I wanted to really find out, you know, why weren't young people voting in higher numbers? Because that was the reality, is that in 2016, young people that were qualified to vote between the ages of 18 to 29, only 39% of them showed up to vote during that election. And that was a huge part of why, you know, the election went the way it did. So that's what led me to make this film.
Sure. And on the journey, what kind of surprised you?
Oh, gosh. So many things surprised me. Well, first and foremost, you know, like I said, I've spent my adult career up until 2 years ago working with young people, recruiting them, training them, you know, cultivating their leadership, especially in education. And so I've always believed in young people and I taught them. But I was blown away, quite honestly, by the five young people that I followed in the film. Mm-hmm. They were even more remarkable than I realized. Quite honestly, I just think they're smarter than we are at that age, right? Like I was not doing what these young people are doing at their age. You know, there are two young people we follow in our film who were 16 at the time. And they were trying to change a ballot initiative to open up primaries so that more young people could vote in a state like Florida. And what they know, their knowledge alone, is just far surpasses where I was at 16. I mean, I graduated from high school at 16, which was sort of a big deal back then. But I didn't, like I said, I didn't know what they know now. And I think a lot of that is because of the time that they're living in. They have access to technology. which gives them so much more information than I think I had in 1987 when I was graduating from high school. You know, everything I got from books or my professors or the people that I surrounded myself with. And they don't have to depend on the adults. So I think I was blown away by how smart they are, how knowledgeable they are. And quite honestly, I think how much they care. I don't think the lack of voting that we have in our country has to do with apathy. There are, of course, people out there who are apathetic, but I think the problems that keep a lot of young people back from voting and being more civically engaged, there's so many reasons, much like my professor taught me at Harvard, why our problems remain so complicated and why it's so hard to make progress when you're talking about systemic problems that for hundreds of years have, you know, just complicated the system and made it, you know, voter suppression the norm, has made the lack of civics education, you know, almost non-existent in some states, and, you know, and so on, right? So I do think what I took away is how complicated the problem is and that there's no one solution to the problem, that we actually need multiple solutions happening, both in terms of laws, but also these more adaptive changes that are more about changing people's beliefs and mindsets about the power of young people and what it means to educate young people in the 21st century.
Got it. So if 2016 was the election where the sense of truth kind of died, given the amount of counter-narratives that were flying backwards and forwards, what was the kids' response to dealing with growing up in this technology-orientated world that we live in now?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, the young people I followed, they use technology as a tool for change. You know, there's a young woman in the film who actually, when we interview at the beginning of the film, she's not sure she believes in voting. Mm-hmm. She actually believes more in social media and using it as a tool to engage people in issues that were important to her, like police brutality. And I think they view the media and technology more as it's just part of their reality. There's a young man in the film who, you know, he talks about how easy it is to get educated online, right? So for them, they view technology, well, one, they're born with phones. To them, it's like technology has made things more efficient, right? I will say, I do agree. I hear your question. And I think that there is definitely a huge challenge with disinformation online. And I think that goes back to education, quite honestly. Because, you know, even I read stuff sometimes and I'm like, is this true? Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that's where I, thank God, was educated in a way that it developed my critical thinking skills. So how do you develop the skills of young people so that they're knowledgeable enough to know what's false and what's fact?
Sure. So given the fact that today's society is really struggling with the tidal wave of information that's coming at them, what led you to believe that a feature film would be the best way to communicate a kind of first-person testimony?
Well, I'm a deep believer in first-person narratives. You know, I grew up in Jamaica around a grandmother and elders who told me lots of stories about our history and our culture. And when I was at Harvard, I learned a lot about the idea that we need more narrative change in our society, because, you know, if you're talking about real systemic change, system change does not happen just by changing laws and policy. You know, we had the Voting Rights Act passed in America in 1965, and it's still very challenging for people, especially people of color, to vote in this country. You know, and a lot of that goes back to the mindsets and the beliefs about who should have power in this country and who shouldn't, right? And so I think that work happens at the mindset level, at the values level in our society. And I really believe film and television can actually really spark those aha moments for people, right? You know, I grew up with Sesame Street and all of those things. Like, that stuff does plant like thoughts in your head, right? And so I reached a point where, one, I became knowledgeable about the power of film to impact culture change. And you know, I was also working for Teach for All, and I was traveling around the world going to all these conferences about the future of education. And I guess this was about 2015. And they were saying, you know, in the next 20 to 30 years, the future of education is going to be virtual, and that our kids are going to be learning online, right? More and more. And that was actually part of my job at Teach for All at that time, was to get more and more of the partners thinking about that and how they were going to be training their teachers to educate young people. And so to me, it occurred to me, if kids are going online and film and television and videos, which they were watching on YouTube, right, are going to be used even more by young people, and they were driving their own learning, right? They're going online anyway, whether their parents or their teachers like it. Mm-hmm. Why not create more content that educates them, that inspires them to take action on the problems that, you know, our world is facing and problems that they're going to inherit?
What challenges did you face during the filming?
Oh my gosh, so many. I mean, I was a first-time filmmaker. So there was just that challenge of, okay, so how do you make a film? You know, I went to a school where actually, luckily, quite a few of the people I went to school with actually had gone into the filmmaking business. So I had some resources to tap into, and I'm very grateful for how the universe aligns things in your life. I was placed to teach in Los Angeles, and my board chair at Teach for America was the former head of the Producers Guild of America. You know, he was a friend and a mentor 20 years ago. So 20 years after I met him and, you know, I decided I wanted to make films, I reached out to him and I was like, I need your advice. And so he's actually an executive producer on The Young Boat. So I'm very lucky that my life had aligned in a way where I had a lot of access to a lot of the people who could really be mentors with me. So I had guidance because I really did not know how to put it all together. I had a vision for what the film should be about, but the actual execution of making a film and taking it from idea to distribution is massive. Mm. And I'm still in that process. I think most people, when they think of making a film, they're like, go make a film. And here I am 2.5 years later, right? So it really is a process. And then I would say that the biggest challenge I had was making a film clearly in the middle of a global pandemic. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we weren't able to do a lot of the physical shoots that we wanted to do. I wanted to just spend hours with these young people, following them in their daily lives. And that was not possible because I live in Florida. So, you know, no one wants anyone from Florida coming into their state in the middle of a global pandemic because there are no protocols here because of our political leadership. So, you know, most of the shoots that I did initially were on Zoom, and I hired local crews who did the shoots for me. You know, one of the things I noticed towards the end of 2020, I started going to the shoots because we were able to test and I could show tests and everyone on the crew would have to take a test. We could wear masks and social distance. But what I noticed is if I went physically on a shoot, I was able to get a much better content than if I were doing it on Zoom. And I would say, you know, being able to go to festivals has been challenging. You know, we are officially a film selection for 2 awards, and we're waiting to hear back from a few festivals that start happening more in the spring, but have no idea if those are going to happen in person or virtually. And clearly, you know, we're looking for a distributor for the film. And I would imagine that meeting these distributors in person is probably a whole lot more effective than, you know, me meeting them online. And then lastly, just fundraising. Pretty much 75% of the funds that I've raised for the film has come through individuals and friends and former colleagues that I've worked with in the past. So I was able to leverage some relationships, given my prior work in fundraising and education, and because the film is very connected to educating young people, but it's still been brutally hard.
But the fact of the matter is, you didn't just stop there. You didn't just make a film. You made a production company to go along with the film.
I did.
So it wasn't so much a case of you jumped into the swimming pool, you decided to jump into the deep end as well.
Yeah, I'm told that I like to take on a big challenge. Like I said, I really wanted to create content for young people globally, actually, because, you know, I'm someone who comes from another country, who traveled to like almost 60 countries because of the work that I've done. And I just think that this generation of young people, we need to educate them differently than how you and I were educated. And I think the reality is, like all the data was saying it, COVID accelerated it. Kids are going online. They're not going online. They're online right now, right? And so, you know, I want to create a lot more content for young people. Mm. You know, this film was particularly important to me because of what's going on in our country right now. And by the end of it, I was even more inspired, and I needed to be inspired. I think we're all looking for a little bit of hope in the world right now. And I think this film is a very hopeful story, even though we finished filming on January 6th and I was driving back when the insurrection happened. It's like this bizarre day of all these emotions for me and for the young people and the crew, where we were so excited because it was a great outcome. And then our country was almost destroyed, right? So it was the reality of we need to remain hopeful, but we have to realize what's going on around us. And I think this is one of many stories that need to be told. I'm starting to work on my next film now. It's also going to be a film that's education related. I'm sure everyone's been observing this too, but you know, our education system needs to change. And it's become very political also in America. So yeah, I want to create multiple stories. And I also would like for my production company to become a place where people with similar values will want to collaborate with me on the stories that they also want to tell.
Mm-hmm. So in making these kind of films, I guess there's kind of two questions here. One, how do you measure impact in terms of success and in terms of advancing a narrative and advancing a conversation? And the second question I completely forgot, so there you go.
It's okay. It's our brains today. How will I know this film has made an impact? It's a very good question. Actually, a few of my donors have asked me to think about that, even like, you know, from the front end. So I actually do have some measures around. I want to screen the film in at least 50 middle and high schools, right? Which, you know, I hope I can make that happen in this context politically right now. It's a bipartisan film, depending on how you view it. You know, this film is not intended for any young person to watch it and say vote a certain way politically. It's intended for young people to watch it and then walk away and vote. Right. I want to screen the film to as many young people as possible before they're eligible to vote, while they're eligible to vote. I want to show it in, like I said, middle, high schools, universities. And we built a website for the film. And at the end of the film, we asked people to go there to get involved. And, you know, I'm partnering with quite a few organizations that we profile in the film and that, you know, I've gotten to know over the years who are very reputable in terms of voter registration, civics education, creating more opportunities for young people to vote through open primaries. But, you know, I'm hoping millions of young people watch the film. And I hope we find a distributor who can help us measure that. But those are my big goals. I want to get eyes on the film. And we're also creating some curriculum that I'm a teacher. So, you know, I got to create a lesson plan for everything that I do. And, you know, one of the things I would love to do is to have a curriculum that middle and high school teachers can use with the film, right? To cultivate those critical thinking skills, those, you know, citizenship skills, so that, you know, it's aligned with what they need to teach in their social studies and their civics curriculum. And it's also useful to them. So you know, the way I look at it is that my film is a part of a movement building process that started long ago on tackling the vote in this country and ensuring that everybody had the right to vote. And there are a lot of people that are continuing that movement now. And what I'd like for my film to be is a tool that's used to build that movement.
Brilliant. Fantastic. Well, thank you coming into the show. I wish you all the very best of success. And thank you so much.
Oh, I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Very, very kind.
Great talking to you. Stay safe.
All right. Cheers then. Bye. So there you have it. I hope you like what you heard. And if you fancy having some more No Spoiler interviews delivered to your favorite listening device, then please consider subscribing. In addition to these interviews, please check out our fortnightly No Spoiler Reviews podcasts, where we do movie news, in-depth requests / reviews, and also look at what's coming next in our trailer watch feature. So if that's your kind of thing and you don't like knowing the ending before you start, then I look forward to you joining us for even more interviews and reviews.